thing.
Okay. Right.
Whatever thing is this one. Sorry.
All right, the next guy has got to be one of my favorites that I'm most looking forward to in the lineup. He's going to bring a lot of energy to the room. I know it's that time where it's getting a little late in the afternoon and people may start to be fading a little bit, but if there's anybody that I could have to schedule at this time to bring the room back to life, it's my main man, Zach Evanesh, from Underground Strength Gym in New Jersey. As I mentioned before, I was originally from New Jersey, just moved out to Tampa not too long ago. And while I was in New Jersey, had the opportunity to meet Zach and train with him at his gym several times. This man is about to bring some fire to the stage. Give it up for Zach Evanesh.
All right. Am I mic? Am I good? You guys hear me? All right. I am big time honored. I thought Joe was confused when he invited me to speak here. I said, you sure? I'm not so sure you want me to come up on that stage and be a little bit crazy, but what I'm going to talk about is a little bit different. You can see I've got a title up here. We'll get into that in a second. We've also got a timeline, and that timeline represents the beginning of really the days of changing my life. 1989, and I had a lot of flashbacks speaking with a lot of people here who have been in the fitness, bodybuilding world since then. There's been a lot of changes, and I'm honored to be amongst my friends, my colleagues, with you guys, and I think you're going to take a lot from this, even if you haven't experienced the things I've experienced. I'm going to take you through some very high points and some of my toughest times, stuff that I've never told anybody. It might get a little bit emotional for me, but it's going to be an amazing learning experience and learning tool. 45 minutes. Here we go. Okay? How to take life by the balls. Live the life you've always wanted. Live your dreams. A lot of people always talk about, I dream of doing this, I dream of doing that. Well, a long time ago, met a guy that was working in New Jersey, and he was actually from Germany. And he had told me, he's like, why does everybody always say, I dream of this, I dream of this? Why do you dream the life? Why not live your dream? Well, for a long time, I went through a lot of ups and downs, a lot of struggles, trying to live my dream. And by no means was it an easy road, but if you've ever seen the movies with a hero or read a book with a hero or a champion, he or she has always had like tremendous obstacles to overcome. So it's your choice whether you get up or you stay down. So we're going to go from 89 all the way till the present. Some of the times we'll go through a little bit faster. Other times we'll go, you know, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on the more important stuff, but June 1989, this is when I first began working out. I actually would work out in my brother had a room, he had those sand-filled weights. Did anybody ever train with those sand-filled weights? Yeah? Your dumbbell benching, that shit's like flying in your eyes, in your mouth. Those were the days, and the way I got those weights was I had to earn those weights. There used to be a sporting goods store in Edison, New Jersey. It was called Herman's. And I remember my brother was like, we're gonna go. He's like, get your book back on. My brother was, you know, if you think I'm a little bit crazy, like he has a lot of problems. Very crazy. He's like, we're gonna go. We're gonna start getting these weights. He's like, I'm gonna work out. He was joining the wrestling team. He's like, I have to kick ass. He's like, I need to work out. So we ride down to the mall, which is about a mile away, which is a nice coast, a nice steady downhill ride. We get to Herman's. We have our allowance. I help my brother pay. He puts 20 pounds, two 10-pound plates in his backpack. I put them in my backpack. I wasn't even 13. This is just me getting the weights with my brother. I was in sixth grade, I think, at the time. And I still remember, like, riding my bike up that goddamn hill. And I was like, wait for me, wait for me. He's like, go, go. It was killing me. And that was kind of the introduction of my brother being crazy and wanting to go for something. We had to cross a pretty crazy highway to get to that mall, which was definitely against my mom's orders. But that's what you do. My parents would work during the summer. We had some crazy times. And my brother collected bodybuilding magazines and was really engulfed in trying to improve his his physical body and his physical performance. And back in the late 80s, the only information we really knew about was whatever was in the magazines. Okay? And a lot of that stuff was fabricated. It was written by the authors, not so much by the bodybuilders and the lifters themselves. So I started to learn through, who remembers the Arnold Schwarzenegger Encyclopedia of Modern Bodybuilding? That book kicks major ass, okay? The thing's like 400 or 500 pages, black and white photos, and that's how I learned to train. That was my first training partner, Arnold Schwarzenegger and American Muscle Magazine. Does anybody remember that show? ESPN? A few of us, a couple, you know, Tom Terwilliger and Sean Phillips, remember that? I used to cut school to record American Muscle Magazine. And I did it with a very strategically, because I knew that you had 10 days of absences that you could get before you stayed back. So I only cut 10 days of school a year to make sure that I got the 10 episodes, one each month, and then in the summertime I was free. That's how I learned to train. And my first workout was squats. And let me tell you, I'm 5 foot something, 13 and a half. This is 2 weeks before eighth grade is over. I'm about 110 pounds. Total wuss. I mean, you know, my brother was tough. I had nothing. And I looked through the book, and it's reading about how you got to train the legs hard. So I decide I'm going to do legs. That's going to be my first workout. Anybody want to guess, like, how much weight I was squatting with back then? Take a guess. Throw out some numbers. Who said 65? Sean, you're the man, brother. 65 pounds. Let me tell you why it was 65. First of all, it was the spin collar weights. You guys remember those spin collar weights? 65 pounds was all I could squat with because that's all I could lift over my head. That was my one rep max. The problem with your one rep max is once that shit is on, it's your one rep max. So I'm squatting. I look through the book. I see you don't go on your toes. You got to have your heels. You got to push your butt back. So I'm squatting. I get my 10 reps with 65 pounds. Done. And then I'm like, ah, and it's stuck. I'm like, ah, there's nobody in the house. I'm like the only moron on planet Earth, like maxing out with 65 pounds. So I see my brother's bed right behind me. I back up ever so strategically. And I just sit on it, and then I just like do like this crazy ass sit up to get the weight off of me. That was the first workout. That was really the beginning of a new life, because now my life, my world, my business, everything I'm able to do for my family, what I'm doing in front of you guys has been centered around strength training and bodybuilding. And for me, bodybuilding is not just the, you know, bodybuilding on stage. It's just, you know, transforming your body, changing your life. To me, training is like what Sean mentioned before. It's like my ritual. It's like that's my way to meditate. It's a little bit, you know, crazy, but I say that, like, if you've ever heard of a soul surfer, like that guy or girl that's a soul surfer, they'll surf on any kind of surfboard, longboard, shortboard, you know, boogie board, body surf. You know, they'll also miss their best friend's wedding for, like, if the waves are good. For me, like, I'll train anyway. I'll run trails. I'll lift stones. I use barbells. I love barbells, dumbbells. Whatever it is, I lift it. That's what I'm connected to. And back at age 13 and a half, now I'm 34, about 21 years ago, this was the beginning of my life. And it was really, we're going to go through the transition period. And the one thing that I learned from everything was train hard. They just said, you got to train hard. And I thought that if I outworked everybody else, if I trained harder than anybody else, twice as hard, twice as long, did everything twice as good, I would be better. So there were times I trained twice a day. So if I cut school to record American Muscle, I'd make sure I'd catch my workout. Then my parents would take me to the gym in the evening. I would train 30 days in a row, no rest. Resting's for wimps. I was like, frig that. I don't need to rest. I'm Superman. I'll train and I'll get bigger and stronger. I had no real direction except for what I read in those magazines, which, like I said, was fabricated stories. But for me, that's what I, you know, I read those magazines. That's how I fell asleep. In study hall, I took out Arnold's Education of a Bodybuilder. And I like kept taking it out from the high school so no other kid could learn Arnold's secrets. I was like, frig this. I'm gonna be the next Arnold. So I took it out constantly and I read it over and over again. I memorized so much of that stuff. And I had no real direction, like I'm saying before. And also, it was not a specific direction. Where was I going? What was I training for? Who, you know, I was following the information of bodybuilders that were really, you know, on the use of drugs or stuff that was fabricated, crazy-ass stories. So, and we fast forward here to 1992, 15, 16 years old, junior year in high school, and I was a competitive wrestler. And the only way I knew to train for wrestling was through the bodybuilding. And times were getting extremely frustrating for me. I was very angry. I was getting very confused. Because even though I trained harder than anybody I knew, those results didn't equate to twice the success of anybody else. I knew people that didn't even train that were more successful than I was. I thought that maximum effort meant maximum results, or working harder is more results. I was physically, my body was trained, but mentally what I didn't know how to do was to bounce back from any sort of setback. So if I lost a wrestling match, I would just bury myself in the negativity. I couldn't pull out and use it as a way to learn. And these down times, and they got really bad to times that I would just find ways to punish myself. If I didn't win, then instead of running 3 miles, it meant you get home and you run 6 miles. And I kept pushing the envelope. My body broke down and my mind was really continually breaking down. It wasn't getting built up. And I also had nobody that could really teach me how to do it differently. There was just two things. There was people that were successful, and you just thought that that's the way it was. They're successful by working hard. And then there were people that were unsuccessful, and you thought that's what happens when you don't work hard. Once 93 came around, this is when I graduated high school, I had gone through like ups and downs and chunks of depression. And like I said before, very much dwelling on the negative, the punishing myself, if I lost a wrestling match, training harder, you know, don't allow yourself to eat, keep pushing yourself to make yourself tougher. It didn't work. There was no support system for me compared to where I am now. Pat Rigsby's here. He's one of my business coaches. A lot of the gentlemen that spoke on stage today, as well as Isabel and the ladies that are going to be speaking, are my colleagues. And I connect with them through email, in person, through mastermind meetings. Now I have a different support system for business. I also have a different support system and a knowledge base that allowed me to get out of these. I mean, these were heavy times. These were times where I seriously didn't think, like, you know what I was saying? I was like, fuck this. This might seriously be, there's like no use to go on. You work so hard, you're getting nothing from it. I was surrounded by the wrong people, wrong places. I didn't feed my body or my mind the right things. Now, everything I do is revolved around being around the right people, doing the right things. Because now, at the age of 34, finally I'm doing what I always wanted to do, yet constantly people are emailing me saying, my job sucks, I don't like the way, you know, I feel, I don't like the way I look. They're always trying to find their way out of it, but the thing is that a lot of people just don't have the balls to stand up, and this is like, literally, so women, you could have balls too in this situation, this is okay. It's not just a guy thing, but it was being around the wrong people, the wrong places. Right here in this room, we're around the right people. Oh, the majority, you know how many people this went out to? Between everybody's mailing list of how many hundreds of thousands? And here we've got, I don't know, how many people do we have here, Joel? About, how many? 150, 160 people out of hundreds and hundreds of thousands, probably over a million people. So right here in this room, this puts you in what I call life's top 1%. I used to think life had a top 10%. Then I realized that that's not true. Then I thought it was top 5%. Then I realized that really there's 1% of people that really go hard and kick ass. So when things get in their way, they see that as just part of the journey to achieving success. And in 1994, I was in college. I was a freshman in college. So 93, I'm a freshman, 94. In January through July, okay, the summer of 1994, I have family that lives in Israel. And we went to Israel. I stayed with my grandparents. And my brother was in the military there. He was in a special forces unit. It was called IDF. And I already told you about my brother. He was crazy. And he was the kind of guy that, like, whatever he wanted to do, he did it. And he's the kind of guy that also had all the cards stacked up against him. Not many people liked him in school. He was kind of nerdy. Yet he would, like, kick everybody's ass when he, like, got into fights. He always found a way to get out of it. All he would tell me was, just suck it up. Just change yourself. Just change yourself. It didn't really happen until I got to this 1994 time, summer of 94. And I realized that from January to July, which is when I really went through about a half month streak of depression. In a half month, it was what I call wasted life, not wasted time. Well, time is life. If you replace, anytime you say the word time, my buddy Alan Cosgrove says, replace that with life. I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the life to do that. I spent 6 months of my life not even living. To me, I was like, dude, I was like, I'm freaking dead. I had no support, no coaching. I had no mentors. And there's a huge reason of my success today in business and in life is the mentors I've had, going to the people that have been there, done that. And I had no results for 6 months. When I mean no results, I mean training-wise, information-wise, I'm not so sure I was going to get so much better information. I squatted, benched, deadlift. I did interval training on treadmills. I trained extremely hard. I followed a very, very clean diet, and the results were nothing. And the main reason there was no results was because of my mindset. It literally put up a roadblock to all success, or to even results, not even success. And when we talk about success and mentors and having goals, well, we think of like Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player to ever live, right? He wasn't the greatest until Phil Jackson came along and coached him to greatness. He had he was around, you know, other excellent players, but Phil Jackson comes along and helps him achieve his potential. And with Phil Jackson at Chicago Bulls, he wins 6 NBA titles. Then at the LA Lakers, he wins 4 NBA titles. Wherever the ass-kicking coach went, he picked everybody up and changed how they performed. And I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've seen it with athletic coaches. I've seen it with, you know, comes through the right parenting, the right friends, who you're around. Great players or just great people without great coaches, you get lackluster results. You don't really get to the ass-kicking level. You're good, but you don't kick ass. A great coach with a proactive student, great results to me. And I just always think, like, you have to be in kick-ass mode at all times. And when you have somebody that's coaching you, mentoring you, or if you put yourself in the positions to be around those people, that's what happens. So while I'm in Israel, and if you see this quote here, it says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I got to a point in my life where I was just like, frig this, man. It's time to make a change. Well, I met two guys when I was in Israel. The guy Abner owned a gym. And this gym was like, it looked like a bedroom. It looked like a living room. I mean, the equipment was so shitty and so primitive, like you would think nobody could get results. The bench press was the squat rack. You know how it worked? We took the stands out and turned them around. And when you squatted, you made sure somebody stood on the bench. Because if you put the weight on it, the whole thing would flip over. You were dead. It was the shittiest place ever. And Abner gave like the strangest advice. You know, people would be like, he'd be like, Abner, like, how do I tone up my legs? He's like, do some leg extensions. Just do some leg extensions. You'll be fine. But I think what happened is when I came there, he saw a kid who had, you know, I was here, but my potential could have been way up there. And he was a hardcore guy. He was the physical conditioning instructor for the special forces in Israel. And then he was like a crazy, like after military, he was like a bus driver. And the bus drivers in Israel are really fucked up. They're like fucking nuts. They're crazy. I'll tell you, like, you think that they're going to smash into a pole, right? You're right about to hit it. You're like, whoa. And they hit this turn. He was nuts. A deranged guy. Joe was probably more fucked up than Abner. I'll tell you why. And this is not like the rabbi joke. It's kind of, so Joe lived in Miami. And he was in the military. He got kicked out of the American Army for some crazy reason that we can't get into now. So what he did was he was airborne. So what did he do? He became a skydive instructor. So some rabbi comes, wants to go skydiving. This is not a joke. It's not the rabbi goes skydiving joke. So Joe meets this rabbi and they start talking and he's like, yeah, I get kicked out of the American Army. I'm a crazy bastard. And the rabbi's like, and he says, I want to become a Navy SEAL. So the rabbi says, he's like, if you want to be a Navy SEAL, you go with the best. The best Navy SEALs in the world are in Israel. And Joe's like, well, how the hell do I do this? I don't even know how to get to Israel. He's like, it's easy. I'll convert you you'll be Jewish. And this guy was like straight up, you know, like a hardcore Irish guy. He's like, you'll be Jewish. You'll be good. We'll get you to Israel. I meet Joe in Israel. He's there for like over a year. What is he doing there? He's teaching people how to scuba dive and skydive in Israel, yet he barely speaks the language. In fact, he doesn't speak the language. Joe and Abner, two crazy bastards, these guys were like my coaches for 2 weeks. I get there, and the Mr. Israel bodybuilding show is going to be coming up. And they're like, you gotta do it, you're a teenager, you're 18 years old, you're freaking ripped, you're jacked. I'm like, I know, it's okay. They're like, you gotta do it. But I was still kind of like in my, not kind of, but I was in that depression. I was like, no, you know, I'm just not gonna do it. I didn't want to step up. But I was put in the right surroundings with the right coaches, and their attitudes were just amazing. Joe, who leaves America, and he leaves Miami. I mean, the guy left Miami. He wants to be a Navy SEAL, can't even speak the language. And I had extremely high expectations from others. And I learned to give myself high expectations. I had 2 weeks to do this, and they were like, you gotta come back tomorrow and give us an answer if you're gonna compete. So we did our workout, I went home, and I was thinking very long and hard about it. And the next morning that I woke up, okay, 1994, I still remember this, I swear to you, like it was 5 seconds ago. I wake up in the morning, and I go, fuck this. I am sick of being depressed. I wasted my life. 6 months, I was dead. Literally, I felt like I was dead. I was like, I'm never going to do this again. And you know what? At age 18, it seems like, man, he went through all that hellish times. And you know what? I'm not knocking. I bet you a lot of people in here have gone through some hellish times. Maybe some bad times. Maybe some of you have been really down. I've been there, so I can relate to that. And at age 18, sure, the high school times, but from age 18 to now, the transformation is really going to start kicking ass. So I'm 5'10", 185 pounds. I was stuck at 185 pounds for those 6 months because my mind blocked off all the results. Stuck, nothing, not an ounce of muscle gained, not an ounce of strength, nothing. I woke up that morning and I was like, fuck this. This is my life. I'm going to start kicking ass doing it my way. And one of my friends in Israel said, he's like, dude, you can't be depressed. He's like, you got to wake up in the morning and say, you know, today's my day. What awesome, what beautiful things is today going to bring me? And he said, the way you do it is you answer your own question with however you want your day to go. Basically, like you're the author of your own book of life. You create it however you want it to happen. I was drawing a line in the sand. I was like, fuck, those fucking days are done. Now I'm gonna kick ass. You ever see, what's that movie with Samuel L. Jackson? He has the wallet. He's like a bad motherfucker wallet. Anybody see that movie? Joel, you gotta take people to the movies. Forget dinner so we're going, we gotta rent a movie. And to me, ever since that day, I drew that line in the sand. I never turned back. The only thing on my mind is winning and achieving, turning dreams into reality. Now, if you're willing to change, if you will change, everything will change for you. If you're not willing to change, then nothing's going to change for you. And that means psychologically, emotionally, mentally, that's going to be the whole catalyst to changing the physical you and your life. And I really connected to what Sean was talking about because he was talking about strength for life. To me, I train because I love it. That's like, that is my addiction. That is my, like I said, I'll lift anything. I'll run anywhere. I'll do any kind of training. I don't really like discriminate against anything I do. And then I had to ask another question that I learned from Tony Robbins, which was like, I'm not waiting for the new year, for January 1st or September 1st. How about right now? Like, if it's really important to you, you're going to do it now. You're not going to wait till you get home from this seminar. You're doing it now. I had wasted 6 months of my life. It could have been 6 days, but you want to know what? Those 6 months I'll never get back. And now I had new expectations and beliefs. And I had those 2 weeks to train to do it was called the Mr. Young Israel. And there was like 20 guys. There was kids that, you know, in Israel, there's immigrants coming in from other countries. And I still remember beating a kid from Russia. And I remember seeing like he was jacked up. And I was pumping up. It wasn't even backstage. It was in an amphitheater. And I remember like pumping up like in this like back corner. And it reminded me of the story of when Arnold went from Austria to America. And he was doing push-ups between the chairs. I'm like, I'm Arnold. I'm fucking doing push-ups between these chairs. And that's what was on my mind. And I remember the kids were like trying to speak to me. And Joe was there crazy. He's like, no, no looking. He's like, no, get away. And in those 2 weeks, After I came home, okay, from Israel, coming back to the States, I went from 185 to 197, doing nothing different. My training was hard as it always was. My eating was clean as it always was. But in 2 weeks, 12 pounds, it was insane. And that lesson gave me the know-how to say, dude, the mind is the main power. That's your engine if you want to kick ass. If you have a shitty mindset, you're screwed. You won't win at anything. You won't. In the dramatic strength, muscle increases, energy. I was waking up at like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m. I was so fired up to just get up and start living again. It was amazing. My self-concept, that's, you know, how you think about yourself, 180-degree turnaround. I won the young Mr. Israel, right? Kicked all their asses. Looking back, 89 through 93, no mentors, no coaches. My ultimate roadblock, my mind. And that's your ultimate roadblock. If you're not doing what you want, whether it's physically, whether it's with the job you have, whether with anything that you want in your life, it's your mind that's holding you back. The people that are very successful are very good at doing stuff and not being they fear. It's okay to be afraid, but they still do it anyway if they know what the outcome will be, and they know that they're going to win. We just refuse to lose. Now in 95, I decided I was going to enter the Mr. New Jersey, the Team New Jersey. And we're speaking with Tom before, okay? Anybody that's been in bodybuilding, especially New Jersey, this was a non-natural bodybuilding show. And the New Jersey bodybuilding shows, even the teenagers were on a lot of steroids and growth hormone and you name it. And what they told me is when I decided to do that show is you can't win. There's no way you could win as a natural bodybuilder. I was like, fuck that, dude. Nobody could stop me. I'm winning. I knew who I was up against. I knew who I was up against. My goal? Win. My mindset? Win. My actions? As soon as I asked my mom, I said, Mom, can you cook for me? If you could cook for me, I could do this bodybuilding show. She said, I'll cook for you, Zach. Once she said she could cook for me, it was 6 months out. I didn't wait for 3 months to start. That night, she started making chicken, turkey, vegetables with every meal. I wrote everything down that I ate. I wrote down every workout. I woke up in the morning to do my cardio. I was a full-time college student. I was coaching wrestling. Then I would go back, hit the weights at night. I was training with guys that were not natural. And my intensity was just friggin' freaking them out. They were like, there's no way you're natural. They're like, we can't keep up with you. I got a coach for nutrition because I knew that I would have to dial it in to get ripped to win because I was against all odds here. That's me, right? 95, age 19. I didn't win. I took second place. But the week before that, I won a natural teenage bodybuilding show. I was like 19 in 2 months. And also, I entered the men's novice, and Tom Terwilliger was there. He was recording. Muscle Sport USA, baby. Who remembers Muscle Sport USA? Anybody? Oh, silence. Crickets. Sean. Sean's the only one who raised his hand when I asked about bodybuilding stuff. So I went against all the odds, against all the naysayers, and because of my belief, it skyrocketed my results. And I had... Yes, I had the nutrition coach. My family was supportive, but my mindset was like, I don't care what anybody says. You can't destruct me. We fast forward to the year 2000. And I was out of college. I hadn't graduated college of like fall 97. I was like a second or third year teacher. And I was investing in myself regularly. I was like reading a lot of Tony Robbins. And I picked up his book when I went to visit somebody in California, Awaken the Giant Within. And every night I'd read 2 pages, 3 pages, 5 pages, nothing heavy. But I made sure that I kept feeding my brain the right stuff. And it was empowering. I was picking up a lot of girls reading that book, too. I just felt very confident. And then you see Tony Robbins, UPWI. He has a seminar called Unleash the Power Within. And I remember it was over $1,000. And I would get paid as a teacher every 2 weeks. And I don't even think it was like just over $1,000 I was getting paid. And I spoke to the lady in this thing called staff development where they would train the teachers. And she knew of my energy. I said, Tony Robbins is coming to Somerset or Somerville. And I was like, I got to go. But it's like, it's expensive. It's over $1,000. She's like, do it, Zach. She's like, that is so you. You have to do it. So what did I say? I said, fuck it. I'll do it. So I did it. over $1,000 for the front seat. They had seating, which was like mid-range, back range, standing room only, show up at the door and pay. I was like, no, I'm going number one. I want front seat. I want to be like right in front of Tony Robbins. Went to Tony Robbins. It was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I think it was like half day Monday. Jersey got hit with like the hardest snowstorm it had ever gotten hit with, and it was like in some like 15, 16 years. We were walking on fire. You started at like 8, 9 in the morning. You went till 1 a.m. I saw him up there. I was like, this guy, he's like a machine. He doesn't take bathroom breaks. He just like snacks on salad. Probably kicked my ass. I was so like amazed by him. And he told his story about when he was depressed. And he basically called himself a fat piece of shit. He's like, I was running. My stomach was huge. He's like, but I drew this line in the sand. And I said, I'm done. I'm done being a loser. I'm done being fat. I'm done being weak. I'm done being unsuccessful. He took it into his own hands. It all started because he changed his mind. He didn't have more money. He didn't have like better anything. He changed his mind. That was the first thing. And that whole weekend was brutal on me. I know Eric Kress's fiance is here, and she's an eye doctor, and I thought I had pink eye when I was there, but she said it may not be pink eye, but let's just say it was pink eye. My eyes were like swelling shut, and I remember driving to it during the snowstorm. I was like, nothing's gonna fucking stop me. And I remember getting to the bathroom, my eyes were swollen, and this guy's like, hey man, you a full contact fighter? That was like the early days of UFC. And I was dying to say, yes, I am, but I was like, nah, I got pink eye. But I went through some serious hell to get through that weekend, or it was like a 3-4 day weekend. And although that was 10 years ago, the lesson I learned from what Tony was talking about, it never left me. We fast forward to today, 2010. Last year, I left a job that was just shy of a $100,000 payment. I was a teacher, so I had summers off. It was like 182 days out of the year, full benefits. And everybody was like, you're fucking crazy if you quit that job. You can't quit. It's just too much money. It's health insurance. You got your wife, your kids. And I said, I gotta do what's in my heart. I have to do what I love. And I was getting to a point where I was starting to say, and I was talking to Sean earlier, I said, I had to represent for my kids. Say my daughter says to me one day, Daddy, I want to do like this great thing. And I'd say, yeah, baby, you go do it. And she'd say, what great thing did you ever do? You grew up in Edison, you lived in Edison, you never quit that job that you hated. She would think I was a chicken shit. So I said, frig that. I had to quit, or I was gonna say, you know what I was about to say, right? It was coming. So I kinda, convinced my wife into doing it, and we got it. But I've been seeking aggressively knowledge from people who have been there, done that. Okay? A lot of my friends, colleagues in the back have helped me really get to that point, and I wouldn't be there unless I was learning from where they were. And there was nothing wrong with that. Tony Robbins was doing those things. Anybody great was doing it. So today, right now, this is a picture of my family. So if anybody saw this morning, my son was like freaking out downstairs, breakfast. So that's my son right there. I told my wife, don't like all that camouflage. He's like, looked like a little redneck. I told her not to do all that stuff to him, but he loves like going out. He's like an outdoorsman. That's my wife and I. That's my daughter today. So finally, after all these years, ups and downs, I have an amazing family. We bought a house that's very close to the beach. That was something that I wasn't going to do. We had probably the nicest house in the neighborhood, and we built it up. It was the shittiest house. We built it up. And I never thought I could live near the beach. It was too expensive. But once I said, fuck it, I got that house by the beach. And you know what happened? My wife was like, should we sell the house? Should we put it up for sale? I was like, baby, you know what? We just got to do it, because if we don't do it now, we'll be here for 5 years. We'll be here for 10 years. We're going to look back and we're going to say, what did you do? We chickened out. I said, we can't chicken out. I said, it'll be hard. It'll probably be hard. But I said, I guarantee you we'll win. I said, I guarantee you we'll do it. We can do it. So we sold the house. Boom. Bought the new house. Today, compared to my days of, going really through that depression, even though I trained so much and I ate like all these perfect ways, I have so much more energy health-wise, like mentally and physically. I'm light years ahead of it. And I'm doing what's most important is what really you're here to do on life is to have, you have to leave a legacy behind. You have to do what you love. And that's what all these, you know, that's what these ups and downs do. If you've had those down times, you can't just brush them off. You have to find a way to ask the right questions, to do the right things, to take the correct steps, all the right action. But the mindset is number one. Without the right mindset, I don't care how much action you take, you won't win. I'm proof positive, as are probably a lot of you who have been there and had like all the action, but mentally, if you're just not connected to it, it doesn't work for you. And there's three things I know about you and I know about everybody in this world. We've all got like a lifestyle or fitness goal, something that we want to achieve. Even to this day, I still have like want to change things physically. I want to improve the lifestyle. So I'm always tweaking things, connecting with other experts in the field. We've all had or experienced that sometimes some sort of struggle, frustration, or defeat. Bless you. Not everybody pulls out of it. And we all, to achieve our goals, we need a mentor or a coach. You have to. You can't do it on your own. No matter how much you think you want to do it on your own, it's just not possible. So I always say, this is your time. Whenever I coach with somebody or work with them, I teach them and say, you have to make a solid decision and you can't be chicken about it. You can't be scared about it. Yes, it's hard. It is scary, but you got to use that fear in a certain way. Richard Branson, the guy with Virgin Mobile, right? I mean, this guy like, he was like trying to fly around the world in a hot air balloon. Like the storm almost killed him. He was always doing wild things, but you want to know what? He's going to leave the legacy behind. The legacy doesn't have to be to everybody. It could just be the, you know, you could affect the 5-10 people closest in your life. I had an idea that I was going to sell something, and I'm almost thinking that I don't want to do it, but Joel, I don't want to like cut out. I want to offer for 5 people a coaching, a very small coaching, okay? A real small thing. It's 4 months of coaching, and I want it to be one-on-one. That's how I thrive. I'm going to take 5 people. It's going to be very inexpensive compared to what I normally do. And it could be completely tailored to whatever you want it to be, whether it's training, fitness, lifestyle, a mixture of all that, nutrition, possibly your business is incorporated with your perfect life. And the reason why I'm qualified to do that is because I've been at the bottom of the barrel and I pulled myself up and I've been through the trenches, like literally like a friggin' soldier going through that. So I'm not talking from inexperience. So what we'll do is I'm going to email you every week. I'm not going to wait for you to email me. I will email you every week. Coaching on nutrition, lifestyle advice, ass-kicking advice. And if we need to, we would do what I call speed coaching via phone. For example, I mentioned my business coach, Pat Rigsby's here. Sometimes I call Pat up for 2 minutes. And it's like, that's it. It's not, hey, Pat, 30 minutes of him being like, Zach, come on. He's like, I like this idea. I don't like that. This is what you got to do. Cool. Thanks, Pat. I don't want to waste your time. I know you got to do some whatever you got to do. Peace out. Boom. That's it. 2-3 minutes. Fast and aggressive. Phil Jackson wants to call in Michael Jordan. Hey, guys, 30-minute huddle. We don't have time for 30 minutes. It's a waste. You have 1 minute. You have 2 minutes. Boom. Sometimes it's that moment of decision that you could do things in. Okay? Now, 4 months we're going to do this for. You're going to do it for 4 months. Now, I call it kick-ass, take names, and life fitness, the pursuit of happiness. Now, everybody was reducing their price for Joel, $9.97, bunch of chicken shits. Because you guys are friends of Joel, I'm going to double the price. So instead of $1,000, we're going to go $2,000. I'm actually kidding. I think it's $397. I'm taking 5 people. That comes out to $3 a day. It's like $99 per month. 5 people, you gotta wanna kick ass, but listen, before anybody goes up to sign up, even if you don't sign up, I don't care. I hope you learned, you know, something from me and not to waste life. Cause time, life, that's the same, those are the same things. So don't waste any time, don't waste any life. So if there's a goal that you've learned from any of our speakers today, don't wait for Monday afternoon when you go back home. when you get back to your room tonight, boom, you start getting those goals in motion. Sometimes it's one phone call. Sometimes it's just an email. Sometimes, you know, it's just taking one inch. Because if you've ever seen, this will be a great time to see that that YouTube video. You ever see the inches video with Al Pacino where he's talking to the football players about inches? See, people always think they need to go feet or they need to go miles. Inches is what wins. Because a lot of times, right here is what you have to get to, and 99.9% of people stop here, and you are the 1% that goes 1 or 2 inches, and boom, you win. So it's the inches. So I want everybody to kick ass and start saying, fuck it, and thank you, Joel, and thank you, everybody.